nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
All right, so let's try a few things. Do you want to start here? What is the difference between extrinsic versus intrinsic breakdown?
Intrinsic breakdown, we don't assume any pre-existing defects.
Right.
So in the case of extrinsic, we assume that there are pre-existing defects that are distributed randomly in the breakdown.
That's right. That's right. So we mentioned two sources of extrinsic defects, right? One was
plasma.
ESD, electrostatic discharge. Can any of you think about any other sources from where extrinsic defect might come from?
Sodium,
it could be if your hand has sodium, not using gloves, then it could have sodium. So he's saying copper, because anytime you deposit, when you deposit the metal contacts, you do electroplating, right? This dual Damascene process, and the copper atoms can incidentally go in, diffuse in, and cause defects. Then, of course, if you have photoresist, if you don't clean it up properly, then the photoresist may also create local defects. All of them, if you are not careful, will reduce the dielectric strength. So intrinsic is sort of the limit. You should always do the intrinsic one as a limit, but the extrinsic one is what is people generally would see, right? Does guide dielectric have extrinsic breakdown? Why and why not? Gas dielectric. Do you remember gas dielectric, Paschen's law, that at high density they cannot multiply enough, at low densities they do not have people to multiply with, right? So
gas dielectric may not have, even if the defect is formed, say for example a molecule gets charged for some reason.
Right.
They can actually recombine because they're actually mobile.
No, you are saying reversible versus irreversible, whether you can bring it back. But the extrinsic breakdown, can the breakdown be initiated a little faster by doing something to it?
So if we have some other type of molecules.
Very good. So the thing he answered was, let's say you are doing with things with hydrogen. Hydrogen has about 13.6 eV ionization potential. And remember that you had to start the initiation. You had to start the breakdown. Now, let's say if you put a small fraction of helium. The helium ionization potential is considerably smaller. So what will happen, that the helium will give you the first electrons. It will initiate the process. And then the first electrons will go and fly in and start a chain reaction. And therefore, extrinsic breakdown is like a primer in this case. It will reduce the breakdown voltage. That's why Paschen's law was so strongly debated in the original days, because it requires very, very pure material gas. Any little contamination will change the Paschen curve, because it will be start initiation. Yeah, it will get broken a little bit faster. You understand this? All right. Why does the ESD damage? What does ESD damage and the plasma damage do to thin oxides? Maybe that's what it say. What does it do?
It creates pre-existing defect.
Mm-hmm. Why doesn't it short it out altogether?
It is related with the aging of some region.
Right, right.
So it will do this gradually.
It will do this, right. Generally at a high voltage, but generally the main thing is that the time is very short. Time is very short. And most of these gate dielectric has a diode attached to it. When you do the etching, when you do the circuit design, so let's say this is you're putting this in the plasma chamber. Plasma is coming from here. Right? Plasma is coming from here. And then I explained how the ions stop here, the holes move in, and how the electrons essentially go from here to here. The electron tunnels in, and how the hole moves in here, JH, J electron, and so on and so forth. And therefore, it damages the oxide, right? That's what I explained. However, what you can do, people would often use it. These days, you have to use a protection diode. Oh, what am I doing? You have a protection diode. So what the protection diode does, that until your voltage is very high, it doesn't do anything. It just sits here. But during plasma charging, huge amount of voltage will build up. And what it will do, it will break this dielectric, this diode, and then the current will bypass here and not attack the gate dielectric. If you don't do this, it is called an antenna. If you don't put plasma antenna these days in dielectric, none of your 1 nanometer oxide will survive. So this is a very important technology which prevents pre-existing defects from forming. You have a tiny pre-existing defects. Tiny oxide. You don't have any chance of surviving if you don't bypass you don't use a bypass diode. Okay? Does it make sense to you? Okay. What is the physical meaning of infant mortality?
It means that at the beginning of the operation of the IC also, the transistors that has, or the devices that has pre-existing, so many pre-existing defects such as this are very weak, it will fail.
Immediately. Right. That's right. So that's what infant mortality means. And how does it relate to yield of semiconductor manufacturing? If your processing is bad, your plasma damage is significant, then what will happen?
The infant mortality would be high.
Very high, and your yield would be very low. And therefore, when you bring up a factory, anytime TSMC or Samsung, somebody will bring up a factory, in the beginning, the yield will be very low, on the order of 70-75%. It can be even lower. By the time your process is matured, your yield should be close to 90-95%. Otherwise, you are not making any money. So, therefore, this infant mortality has to be controlled. Do you remember what this is? Arun? Okay. This is a doctor. When have you heard his name? The first lecture we talked about, right? Do you remember that we said when the babies are born in this country, they check for 5 vital signs in the beginning, right? And they very quickly see whether the 5 vital signs are doing properly. So indeed, the idea is that this test is like a burn-in test. Not in that sense, that here, of course, you're trying to fix it, not throw away. But the idea is that this is those curve. This has the bathtub curve. So will you remember that in the first class, when I told you about this Apgar test, the statistical things, this is what I wanted to mention. These two things are related. What is the difference between variable for thick and thin oxides?
For thin oxides, we do have, if we do have extreme initial defects, then the variable is shifted.
True. If you have pre-existing defects, then it will be shifted. You remember the blue curve and the red curve. That I agree. But first, we did 2 different plots. Tell me, for thin oxides, how do you plot the variable? And in thick oxides, How do we do it? The axes are not exactly the same.
One is the time, the other is the electric
field. The other is very important, right? Because pre-existing thick oxides always has pre-existing defects. And so people do RAM test. And the important thing they see that what is the breakdown field? There is nothing called a breakdown field for thin oxides. Every field it will break. But, so therefore the Weibull is Weibull of time Weibull. And this is a field Weibull. That is what we'd plot for thin oxides. Okay.